Murder in Capitals by Bernard Picton. The play is set in a room of the translation unit of the Foreign Office in London. Murder in Capitals.
Morning, Miss Mason.
Hello, Briggs.
All set for another week on the treadmill?
No, I've got that Monday morning feeling, I'm afraid. Ooh, the thought of all those damn papers on my desk.
Oh, you better not tell me about it, miss. I might be a spy, you know.
Yes. Well, I suppose you want to see my pass.
You know the regulations, Miss Mason.
Oh, hang on. My handbag seems to collect more junk every day.
It does seem a bit daft, I admit. I mean, I've seen you come into this building almost every morning for 3 years.
Ah, here we are.
Oh, thank you. Oh, good morning, Miss Oswald.
Morning. Here's my parts all ready.
Yes.
Hello, Nina. Hi, Jean. Hey, look, there's a lift. Come on. Oh.
Have a good weekend, Nina.
Super. Met a chap at Sheila's. Tall, dark, handsome, and a Mercedes. How'd you get on?
Oh, the usual. Went down to Sussex to Mummy and Daddy. Roger took me to a bit of a party at the country club on Saturday.
This place must be a bit of a drag after that.
Not really. I love it. It's worthwhile.
What? Looking through lousy old continental newspapers day after day?
Well, someone has to do it. Anyway, we found quite a few bits later that were useful to the intelligence people. And it's a stepping stone to more important work.
Well, I just do it for the money, sweetie.
Oh, carbolic. Well, more like an operating theatre, those cloakrooms.
Come on, darling. Hang your things up and be grateful you're allowed to serve Queen and country.
I wish the Queen would give us decent lockers, then.
Hello, Paula. How's my boy? Hello, Lena.
Hi, Jean.
Have a good weekend, Paula.
So-so. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Oh, well, better go in and face the men, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Old Evans will have a backache from gardening, and Gabriel will give us a punch-by-punch account of his latest amours, as usual.
Well, I'll go and pick up the post first.
Good morning, Mr. Evans. How's things?
Shocking back, Mr. Mason. That damn garden.
Morning.
Morning, Miss Osborne.
Where's Gabriel?
No sign of him, as usual. When I was a junior in the embassy service, it was more than our job was worth to arrive after the boss.
Ah, but we're all linguistic geniuses here, Mr. Evans. You've got to allow us some artistic license.
Fluency in a couple of languages doesn't excuse sloppy behaviour, Miss Mason. Mr. Ross pushes things a bit too far.
Oh, the devil himself.
What's that? Who's the devil? And good morning, all.
Morning, Gabriel.
Afternoon, almost.
9:20 on the dot. Parking the car, that's where the time goes. The car that gives you lazy devils a lift every evening, I might add.
And how many conquests over the weekend, Gabriel?
Oh, don't start that all over again this week, love, though, as it happens.
Post, everybody. Ooh. Hello, Gabriel. Mr. Evans.
Hello.
Letter for you, Lena.
Thank you, darling.
Couple for you, Jean.
Sure.
The rest's all official stuff. Do you want me to open
No, I'll see to it. Some of it's classified.
Don't you trust her, Hull? Mind you, I did notice a hammer and sickle embroidered on her petticoat the other day.
Gabriel.
You have a most peculiar sense of humour.
Listen, everyone. I had a letter from the appointments board in the FO. I had to go on Friday for an interview for that job in Department M8.
That senior translator vacancy? I didn't know you'd applied, Miss Osborne.
I told you, Mr. Evans, weeks ago. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anyone going to say jolly good.
A jolly good?
Well, as it happens, Jean, my letter says the same thing.
Well, you cagey old thing. You didn't let on.
Jean.
Yes, Paula.
I have my letter at home on Saturday.
Meow, meow. Sharpen up your claws, girl.
So you're both after it. Well, we've all got honours in Italian and French, love, so what's the surprise? I could do with the money, I can tell you.
What about you, Gabriel? You're a French and Italian wizard like the rest of us.
Ah, that would be telling.
Oh, swine. Come on, tell us.
Sweat on it, darling. Hey, Jean, what's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing.
What's wrong? God, you're as white as a sheet. Are you all right, Jean? Is it that other letter?
I'll be okay. Some upsetting news, that's all.
Well, anything we can do, old girl?
No. No, thanks. Excuse me, just for a minute.
I said, do you think she's all right? She looked terrible. Better go after her, I think.
Oh, wow. I wonder what was in that note. Our elegant colleague was certainly shaken rigid by it.
Suppose we try getting on with a little work for a change. Miss Simpson will look after her.
Jean, you all right? I thought you were going to pass out in the office.
Oh, I'll be fine. Really, I will, Paula. I just wanted to be quiet for a minute.
Well, I don't want to poke my nose in where it's not wanted, but if there's anything I can do... Is it some family trouble? Someone ill?
No, nothing like that. It's nothing.
Well, funny sort of nothing to affect you like this. Well, you're normally our Miss Iceberg, all calm and efficient.
Please, Paula, leave me alone.
It's nothing to do with the job, is it? This is a queer old place, security and all that.
No, not exactly.
Oh, come on, Jeannie. It'll be better off your chest.
Oh, Paula, it's so silly. I think I'm being blackmailed.
You think you are?
But look at this. This is what came in the post.
Just one word. Fantini.
Yes. Big capital letters. Cut from the magazine and stuck on plain paper.
But what on earth does it mean? How can one word be blackmail?
Oh, I might as well tell you the whole story now that I've started. But please, promise to keep it yourself.
Of course, if that's what you want.
Well, about 5 years ago, after I took my degree, I went for a year to Turin, to the university. Some real practice in Italian. When I was there, I used to go to all sorts of student meetings. A friend took me a few times to some very left-wing affairs organised by a way-out character called Francini.
Of course, I remember reading about him not long ago. But I thought they'd locked him up.
Well, they have. His activities got a bit too near the bone for the authorities. But somehow, somebody's found out that I went to his meetings.
Oh, but you weren't serious about it, Jean. Or his bright red politics, I mean.
Heavens, no. But I was curious about all sorts of student activities. His brand of speech-making was jolly good practice for the language.
Hmm. But it wouldn't look too good on your security record. No. What did you tell them when you were recruited?
I didn't say anything. Well, I felt a bit guilty, but what was the point of killing my chances when it meant nothing? So I kept quiet.
Oh, security blow a fuse if they found out.
Oh, don't rub it in, Paula. That's why this letter's so sinister. Someone knows. What did he hope to gain?
He or she? Oh, I don't know. Money's the obvious thing with blackmail. Or with your parents, he could make a packet if it came to cash.
Oh, I suppose so. Could it be some sort of espionage approach?
Could be. Although, let's face it, our job is hardly James Bond style. Not digging through foreign newspapers every day.
I'm afraid, Paula. It doesn't seem like a practical joke. Even Gabriel wouldn't pull a stupid thing like this.
Mm. What about the envelope?
Oh, nothing there, look. The dress has been printed with some sort of rubber stamp.
Like those printing sets that kids have. There's a central London postmark, which doesn't help.
What can he want? Just one word.
If he's serious, there'll be other letters after this. Jean, you must tell the police.
I can't. They go straight to security. I can't risk it. You know how much this job means to me. Especially now, with this chance of promotion coming up.
So what are you going to do?
Nothing. What else can I do? Perhaps it was a sick joke, and that's the last I'll hear of it. Well, better go back and do some work. I feel a bit calmer now.
Nearly 5:20, comrades. Time to shut the shop.
Your appreciation of time seems more acute in the evening, Gabriel, than it does at the start of the day.
I wouldn't get to Waterloo in time for the 5:50 every night if I wasn't quick off the mark with the old car, Howell, old boy, so don't bellyache too much.
Yes, and we're one short for a lift tonight, too.
Yes, where the devil is Paula? First Jean goes off at lunchtime with the abdabs and headache after a mysterious damn letter, now Paula's vanished.
Well, she's probably slipped off to Jean's flat on her way home to see how she is.
Of course, nobody thinks to ask me. I'm only in charge of this office.
No, don't get all paranoid, boss. Come on, let's go.
I'll get a part of my nose, Gabriel, and get my clothes. I'll see you in the corridor.
You'd think that I was the general dog's bother.
Oh, that damn lift is out of action more often than it's working.
Well, the exercise will do you good, sweetie. Get rid of that threatened spare tire.
Oh, yes.
Hey, well, hang on a minute.
No, what's wrong?
Left my blasted car keys in my desk. Oh. I'll have to sit upstairs again.
Oh, Gabriel, you are the limit.
Love you, Jiffy. Wait for me in the foyer, will you?
Now, everything seems to have gone completely crazy today, Miss Mason. I do hate continuous disturbances.
Well, it's been that sort of day, hasn't it? Ever since the mail came. Odd, all of us applying for that job in MA. I suppose Gabriel has, though, of course, he won't let on. What about you? Are you in the running for it, too?
No, too old by far on the shelf. No, they want bright young things these days with college degrees, not somebody who's come up the hard way. No offence, Miss Mason, but it does leave a nasty taste in the mouth to be passed over time and time again.
Oh, here's Gabriel.
Sorry about that.
Come on, it's getting late.
Lena, Miss Mason. Lena, you all right?
Well, it's my arm.
Let me help you out. Pull my arm. That's it.
You're bleeding. Let's see that hand.
All right. Hit it against the wall.
Let's get the commissioner there. Briggs! Briggs! Come here. Oh, bless my soul. Oh, Miss Mason, what's happened?
She slipped and cut her wrist. Have you got a bandage or something to put on it?
Let's have a look, miss. Oh, that's a nasty graze. Lucky it's not deep. Come over to the desk, miss. I've got some adhesive dressings there.
Thank you, please. Oh, blood. That makes me feel quite sick.
Oh, come on. We've got to get a move on or we'll miss the train. It's 5:40 now.
Evening, Briggs.
Oh, evening, Miss Osborne. Well, I thought you went home early, not feeling very well.
Oh, a bit of urgent work to clear up. Suppose I've still got to show this silly pass. Who was on duty?
Well, I should have finished at 6, Miss, but the night guard is visiting his missus in hospital, so I said I'd stay on late.
Is that clock right?
Well, it's a couple of minutes fast. It's just on 10 to 8.
I'm expecting a phone call at 8. There is someone on the switchboard at this time of the evening.
Yes, miss. It's always got one operator on at night.
Right. I won't be upstairs very long.
Okay, miss.
Hello, Commissioner's desk.
Miss Osborne here, Briggs. No one's rung through to you, asking if I'm in, have they?
No, miss. Not a soul.
It's nearly 8:30. Expecting that call long ago.
Shall I ring the main Foreign Office Exchange? It may have gone through to the Whitehall number.
Oh, no. No, don't bother, thanks. It was a personal call, not business. I'll be down in a minute. I can't wait much longer.
Bye.
Oh, God. Come on. You're going to ring. The past. Oh, to hell with him. And Chini or not.
Morning, peasants. What news from the front?
Oh, for God's sake, Gabriel. Can't you say something different for a change?
Oh, touch it this morning, sweetie.
We've had that peasant routine every morning for 2.5 years, dear. And don't call me sweetie.
Full of the joys this morning, aren't we?
I don't want to pull my rank, Mr. Ross, but I am some 15 years ahead in seniority, and I would prefer to be called something other than the peasant each day. We're very late, by the way. It's nearly 10 o'clock.
Spot of ignition trouble. The wet weather, you know. Plays hell with these high-performance jobs. That's probably what's wrong with you, Lena, my love.
Mm-hmm. Where's Miss Simpson? Really, this place is going from bad to worse.
Well, she came to see you last night, didn't she, Jane?
Oh, Paula. Oh, haven't seen her since I went home yesterday lunchtime.
Well, she wasn't around at closing time, old girl. We thought she'd popped over to push aspirins down your throat.
Typical. People come and go as they like these days. I'm afraid I'll have to have a word with Mr. Forth Brown.
Well, what's new on the continent this morning?
Well, there's damn all happening in Paris. How about dear old Italy, Jane?
Sorry. Oh, the papers. Mm. No, nothing so far.
I wonder where she's got to.
Oh.
Miss Simpson, of course. Not so much as a phone call.
Perhaps she's not well.
I mean, she could have phoned. Who's going to do her work?
Oh, here. Give me some of the stuff. I'll do it.
Let's face him over here, Lena.
Mm, here we are, lover boy. Thank and some for El Supremo himself.
That's all very well, but she should let us know. Then I could get somebody up from Moran's section to help out.
Moran's section? Oh, God. Their French and Italian is about as good as my Hindustani.
Oh, for goodness sake, let's get on with it.
A nice cup of coffee would warm up the old brain cells. Nearly 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's another thing. It was Miss Simpson's week to make the coffee. Most inconsiderate.
I'll do it. It'll stop you all bickering. Anyone seen the electric kettle?
Yes, try that cupboard there.
No, it's not
there?
Probably in her locker in the cloakroom. Paula hoards everything in there like a bloody magpie.
Mr. Ross, language, please.
It won't be there, love. Ask Betty next door. They've probably borrowed it, or they can lend us theirs.
Yes, you try them. They don't have their 11s until 11.
Well, try the locker first.
I don't know.
Here we are, lover boy. Have you got this covered in your Italian paper? What's this story? Happy in Paris.
Oh, no. What the hell's happened?
What in heaven's name?
Jean!
God.
Miss Osborne, what? Oh, my God.
Oh, Paula. Is she dead?
Jean, come out. Look at the blood. Oh, God, I think I'm going to be sick.
Your name, sir?
Evans, Harold Evans. I'm the senior member of this section.
And I'm Chief Superintendent Benbow. This is my colleague, Inspector Ellis.
Morning, sir.
How do you do? I understand that you're special branch officers, not detectives.
That's so, Mr. Evans. Your director spoke to the undersecretary and recommended that this affair be treated as a security matter for the time being.
Oh, seems highly unlikely, Superintendent, but then the whole dreadful business seems incredible.
Well, we'll try to let some daylight into it, sir, shall we?
Yeah.
I'd like a preliminary word with you before we see the rest of the staff.
Of course.
This is the main office, is it?
Yes. The girls have a cloakroom through there, where it happened.
What's the room where the others are waiting?
Oh, that belongs to the German section next door. The director told me to use it until further notice.
And what exactly do you do in here?
We monitor all the French and Italian newspapers for items of possible use to the foreign offices, sir. A low classification security-wise, so I can't see this sort of affair being committed with work.
We'll have to see. There were 5 of you in here.
Yes, that's right. 3 girls, another man, and myself.
And the dead girl, Pauline Simpson, being one of them.
Yes, it's terrible, terrible. Such a nice, quiet person. In fact, the nicest in the office.
What's wrong with the others?
Oh, I didn't mean that, Superintendent. They're all pleasant enough, as young people go these days, but... the other 2 girls, well, one is, how shall I put it, rather flamboyant.
And the other?
Oh, very nice, but perhaps a little, well, superior, you might say.
A snob, you mean?
Oh, no, no, I wouldn't put it as strongly as that.
And the man, what's his name, Gabriel Ross?
Oh, again, a bit high-spirited, with it, I think they call it these days, but easy to get along with.
Yes. Well, I think we'll have to have a look at them for ourselves in a moment. Would you mind joining them in the other room, Mr. Evans? We'll want to talk to you later.
Very well. Yes, terrible business. Awful. I don't know what's going to happen to the work. I must see the director, excuse me.
Miserable old devil, isn't he? More like something out of Dickens than the Foreign Office.
That's what the Civil Service does to you, Ellis. Come on, yes, sir. Let's have another look at the scene. Pathologist should be here in a minute. You've got a plain clothes man out in the corridor?
Yes, sir. Thompson. I've kept the CID out of it so far.
It's years since I saw a murder. Keep your feet away from that blood. I remember that much.
Oh, sorry. She's stone cold, Super. And as stiff as a board.
Been dead a long time, certainly. Is that her handbag against the wall?
Yeah, looks like it. The stuff inside is tipped out. Should I collect it again?
Yes, may as well. In a difficult position from the security angle. Are we to have a gang of police photographers trampling all over the place?
Well, she's already fallen out of the locker onto the floor. I can't see much point to. Well, here's the stuff. Haven't smeared any prints, don't worry.
Yes, the usual junk. Purse, makeup, letters... What the hell's this? Page torn from a magazine with big holes cut out of it.
Well, knowing my wife's habits, I wouldn't be surprised at anything a woman carries in a bag.
Hello. The chap outside told me to come on in. I'm Dr. Lamb from the pathologist.
Hello, Doctor. I'm Benbow. I had a couple of cases with you years ago when I was at West End Central. You wouldn't remember me. This is Inspector Ellis.
How do
you do? Morning, Doctor. This is a bit out of our line in Special Branch, I'm afraid. Help yourself. There she is.
Poor girl. Quite young.
Yes, 24. Translator in this place. Last seen sometime yesterday afternoon. No one seems to know exactly when.
Yeah. Died yesterday. No doubt of that. Nasty wound in the chest. Right through the blouse. Yeah. Odd-shaped wound. Seems almost double. Any sign of a weapon?
Not so far, but you haven't long arrived. Ellis, have a good look round, you know.
Well, not much to look at. Only these lockers and the loo.
Yes, well, do your best.
Yes, sir. See this, Superintendent.
Hmm?
When I just move the torn by the side, you can see the shape of the wound. I'm pretty sure I know the cause of that.
That's rather a ragged hole.
A pair of scissors would fit the bill quite well.
Yes. Would there be much blood at the time?
Oh, not necessarily. Depend on what damage has been done internally.
Yes, there was a lot of blood on the floor of the locker.
Yes, I see. Oh, but that could be due to a slow ooze overnight.
Super, look at this, sir, here in the toilet.
Huh?
Come on, Luffy.
What is it, Ellis? Well, in the system of the WC, I lifted the top off and there they were. A pair of scissors.
Now, don't touch it, let the lab people get it out. Part of it is underwater, but one blade is above the surface. Would that be the sort of thing, Doctor?
Let's see. Yes. Two sharp points, the whole thing about 6 inches long. And look, there's still blood on that one blade.
Fair enough. Well, we won't tramp around here anymore. Now, can we leave you to liaise with the yard lab, Doctor? They're on their way. We rang them some time ago.
Oh, right, right. I'll have a closer look at the body and then do a post-mortem as soon as I can get it shifted to the mortuary.
Fine. Well, we'll go and tackle the office staff. Come on, Ellis. Please sit down, Miss Osborne. Now, I want to get a quick picture of what happened here yesterday.
Oh, it's horrible. Is it really true that Paula was deliberately killed?
I'm afraid it is. Now, what were your movements yesterday afternoon?
Oh, I can't really help you. You see, I went home at lunchtime with a bad migraine, so I've no idea what went on here after that.
Yes, well, that certainly seems to cut you out of the picture, so there is nothing out of the ordinary so far as you are concerned.
No, there wasn't.
You don't seem very sure.
Well, it's nothing to do with this, but I had some upsetting personal news in the morning, and that was what brought on my head, actually.
You can't think of any reason for Miss Simpson to be attacked.
No, she was a sweet girl. You must have been a maniac.
Thank you. Well, perhaps you'll wait next door for a while. I'll have to speak to you all again later on.
Superintendent.
Yes.
I suppose I'd better tell you. Rather than you find out and think it odd.
Find out what, Miss Osborne?
I came back here late last night for about half an hour.
Oh. Well, tell me about it, please.
I was expecting a phone call, a private one, at 8 o'clock. But it didn't come, so I went home about 8:30.
Haven't you a phone at home?
I suppose it'll all have to come out now. It's rather a complicated story.
Yes, well, a policeman's job is to listen to complicated stories. I'm busy, Ellis.
Sorry, but this is important, sir. Can you come through here a moment?
Excuse me for a minute, Miss Osborne. What the hell is it, man? That girl suddenly tells me she came back here late last night.
This is about her, too. I was looking through the other lockers and found these in the one marked J. Osborne.
Well?
Shoes. Flatties, my wife calls them. Now look closely at the toe cuts and uppers, sir.
Yes. I see what you mean. Look like blood spots,
sir.
Has the pathologist gone yet?
Yes, sir. Just now. He followed the body out.
And get these shoes over to the lab right away. No doubt, I suppose, they belong to Miss Osborne.
They were in the bottom of her locker.
Right. Well, this makes a further word with her all the more important. Miss Osborne, do you keep a pair of flat-heeled shoes in your locker?
What an extraordinary question. Yes, I do as it happens. I sometimes wear them for work. They're easier on the feet than street shoes. Why?
We'll leave that for the moment and go back to last night's visit.
Well, yesterday morning, I had this letter. It seemed to be a blackmail note. Just one word made up from capital letters stuck on the paper.
One word?
Yes, Franchini. The name of an Italian left-wing at his meetings years ago when I was in university in Turin. It was quite innocent, but someone had found out.
Then how was it blackmail?
You know better than I do how keen they are here on security clearance for employees. This was so trivial, I hadn't mentioned it at interviews. Keeping quiet about it makes it look worse now, I suppose. Especially as I'm in for a new job with a higher security rating.
You think someone is threatening to put the screw on you by exposing your dark past?
They seem to have succeeded, don't they?
But what has this to do with coming back here late last night?
Well, I had a telegram late in the afternoon saying there would be a phone call at 8 o'clock at the office. was signed F, so I realized it was something to do with the letter in the morning.
But there was no such call?
No. I waited until 8:30, but nothing came.
Well, Ellis, did you fix it?
Thompson has taken the articles over to the lab, sir.
Right. Now, Miss Osborne, where were we? Oh, have you got that letter and telegram with you?
Oh, yes. Yes, in my bag. Here they are.
Yes. Just one word. Francini, as you said.
Those capital letters, sir. Surely they match that magazine we found in the dead girl's bag.
Right. Miss Osborne, did you know where these pasted letters came from?
I don't know what you mean.
You didn't by chance see a cut-up magazine page in Miss Simpson's handbag and put two and two together?
You mean you think Paula wrote the letter? That's nonsense.
But is it? Someone had to send it.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous. I knew her better than anyone. She'd applied for the job, it's true, but so had Lena. And Gabriel, too, I suspect.
So there was rivalry in the office over promotion.
Hardly rivalry. All those qualified put in applications.
But you stood the best chance?
I wouldn't say that. I had the longest experience, but...
I put it to you that you saw the damaged page in Miss Simpson's handbag and assumed that she was the blackmailer.
That's nonsense.
Miss Osborne, those shoes that I asked you about, I have to tell you that there were blood spots on the toe caps. Can you explain that?
I don't believe it. Could there be?
Well, that's for you to say. Perhaps when you discovered that Paula Simpson was the writer of that letter, you quarreled and became violent, and then you stabbed her with those scissors.
Well, that's a terrible thing to say. How dare you? I won't listen to this.
Now, sit down. You must realize that you're in a very difficult position. I think I'd better advise you before we go any further. You're entitled to legal advice.
I want to phone my father.
Very well, you can go with Inspector Ellis into another office. I'll see you again later when I've heard from the laboratory.
This way, Miss Osborne.
Well, let's have a smoke and see where we've got to, Ellis. Ah, have you checked the times Miss Osborne came and went last night?
Yes, I got the commissionaire to bring up the logbook. She came at 7:50 and left at 8:35, just as she said. If only the doctor could pin the time of death down a bit.
Oh, it may be Lambton now. Hello?
Superintendent
Benbow. Ah, Dr. Lambton, any news for us?
Well, I've finished the autopsy.
Yeah.
But there's nothing much new to tell you. Stab wound by a pair of scissors, consistent with the size you found in the WC. Death due to penetration of the heart. I've got a few more things to check, but, that's about the strength of it.
What about the time of death, Doctor? Can you get any closer?
No, sorry. The temperature is the only thing to go on, as usual. And it only tells us that it could have been anywhere in the six-hour bracket from 3 to 9 o'clock yesterday.
Damn. Oh, well, it's no use blaming you, Doc. Any other news from the forensic lab?
No, afraid not.
Yes, it's difficult not working through the usual CID channels because of its security angle.
Well, I had a word with one of the lab liaison officers.
Yes?
They've checked the blood group, the stains on the scissors and the shoes. It's group A, the same as the dead girl.
Well, thank God for something.
I want to look at a few more angles in my own lab. I'll keep in touch. Bye.
Goodbye. Well, that gets us exactly nowhere. Look, let's go and have a sandwich and a pint while the lab finishes doing their magic spell.
I just can't believe that she's a suspect, not Jean.
We don't know that she is. Don't jump to conclusions.
Then why is she being kept on her own in that office down the corridor? I mean, why isn't she with us?
Ask Briggs here. He usually knows everything that's going on in this building.
All right, Briggs, so what's happening?
I'm not supposed to say anything.
Oh, come on. Very proper, too.
Don't be such a stuffed shirt, Briggs. I mean, what was all that business with your time checkbook?
Well, they seemed very interested in knowing what time Miss Osborne came in and left last night.
Last night? What? She was here last night.
Well, when was she in? Well, come on, you might as well tell us.
Well, about 8 o'clock, miss, for half an hour or so.
Extraordinary. What for, do you know?
Waiting for a phone call, she said.
Phone call?
It never came. Look, sir, I shouldn't be talking about all this.
But I just can't believe that Jean is under suspicion. I mean, it's all too damn silly.
Yes.
You know, she's always so much on her dignity. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't, Miss Mason. At least she always observes the conventions of seniority and protocol.
Oh, for God's sake, you really are the end, Howell.
What do you
Can't
mean?
You try using Christian names?
Ah, look here.
There are only five in the office. Well,
4 now, and you still insist on this damsely fast about seniority.
Now, let's not begin that.
Oh, no, please, don't let's start arguing about that now. What about Jean? I mean, you don't seriously think she's a candidate for this ghastly affair?
Of course not. So why on earth did she come back last night? Most irregular. There was no work to be done.
So what's all this fairy story about a phone call? I mean, she's got a perfectly good phone in her own flat.
And what was all that alarm and despondency in the morning over that mysterious letter?
She's obviously mixed up in something queer. Huh? And the fuzz think it's an inside job. Or, I mean, we wouldn't be cooped up here, would we?
Amazing.
I sincerely hope you're not suggesting that I may be under any sort of suspicion.
Well, of course you are. The same as us, and why not?
Well, I'm a well-established trusted official. I mean, it should be preposterous. Anyway, what opportunity would I have had compared with you two?
What the devil do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I could hardly go into the ladies during working hours like Miss Osborne and Miss Mason.
Well, charming, thank you very much, Mr. Evans, but nor could Gabriel here. No.
Well, he conveniently forgot his car keys last night, didn't he? Oh. He had to come back up here alone.
Look, are you suggesting...
Look, I'm suggesting nothing, but I'm pointing out that whoever it was, it couldn't have been me.
Did Lambton say how long he'd been getting here?
Well, he was leaving straight after he put the phone down. It's only a couple of minutes by car from the yard up to here.
Who the hell's a panic, I wonder? When the pathologist says there's a snag, why, there is a snag.
Oh, what about the people in the other room, sir? Do you want to see them first? What about Miss Osborne? She's still sitting on her own across the corridor.
They had anything to eat?
Yes, sir. Briggs, the commissionaire, ordered trays from the canteen.
Let him wait until Dr. Lambton has told us his great news. It never hurts to let them stir a bit. Loosens up tongues and guilty consciences. Ah, Dr. Lambton, come in. Give us this bad news.
Yes. It is a bit off-putting, I must admit. Some of it is my work. The rest is from the yard.
Well, tell us the worst.
Well, you see, the lab were worried about those blood spots on the shoes when I called there with the specimen from the post-mortem. They asked me what I thought, and, well, I had to agree that their doubts were justified.
Weren't those spots blood, then?
Oh, they were blood, all right. And they were the right group for the dead girl. But you see, the shape was all wrong.
Shape?
Yes. You see, when blood splashes obliquely, it forms shapes like exclamation marks with the sharp end facing the direction of travel.
Oh, yes.
And there's often a little separate blob in front, like the dot under the exclamation mark.
So you can tell the direction from which the splashes came.
Yes, that's right. And these were all wrong. They indicated the blood came from the direction of the ankle, which is impossible if the shoes are being worn.
So what's the explanation?
Well, the shoes were held in the hand, and blood deliberately flicked onto them from something held in the other hand.
And if you're right, it means that this is a deliberate red herring to mislead us.
Yes, someone trying to frame Miss Osborne. They were her shoes.
Unless she did it herself, knowing it would be noticed.
Oh, that's a bit far-fetched, isn't it?
But there's something else. Something vitally important.
Good or bad this time?
Well, judge for yourself. It's a further bit of information after my autopsy. On close examination, I found a tiny shred of skin under the dead girl's right index finger. It wasn't her own skin.
How do you know?
Different blood group. The victim was group A, and this was group O. I'm getting some other tests run on it, and they're going to bring the result through as soon as possible.
What's the significance then?
Well, it could do for a defense attempt against the attacker. If Tawny Simpson had a chance to scratch her assailant before she was stabbed, that shred of skin might belong to the killer.
So we need someone with blood group O.
Yeah.
Isn't that the most common one by far?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. About half the population. Mm-hmm. But at least it excludes the other half. And I'm hoping for more information soon that will narrow down the search a lot more.
Yes, well, we can do with it. That first bombshell of yours about the shoes has shot the ground from under my feet as far as my best suspect goes. Ellis, wheel all those people back in here, will you? I want to confront them with this new twist. Ladies and gentlemen, there is some vital new evidence concerning this tragic affair. It alters the whole complexion of the case. Now, has anyone anything to add or to alter to the statements they made earlier? No? You're all sure this may be the last chance to do it, if you remember something? All right, then.
Look here, Superintendent, I really don't see why you need me here. After all, I am in charge of this station.
If you don't mind, Mr. Evans, I want everyone who had access to this office suite to be present.
All right.
Now, we have some vital facts concerning blood groups.
and I must ask you all to give permission to have a blood sample taken.
This is a bit much, officer. You're accusing one of us of murder, aren't you?
Well, Mr. Ross, Miss Simpson didn't stab herself. I can't force anyone to have a blood test at this stage, but any refusal will be duly noted.
Superintendent, can I say something that might help?
What is it, Miss Oswald?
Last year, we all gave blood at a donor session that was held in the canteen. Mm. All our blood groups must be on record somewhere. Mm. We were sent cards.
Yes, you're quite right. I've got mine here in my wallet. Let's see. Just a minute. Yes, here we are. Look, there it is, Superintendent. Thank you, Miss Evans. Dr. Lambton, is these okay?
Well, they'll certainly help in a quick exclusion. Well, of course, they'll have to be checked by the forensics sooner or later. What does Miss Revan's card say?
Group A.
Well, that seemed to let him out then. You see, the skin from the fingernail was O.
Anyone else got their cards? Miss Osborne, you thought of the idea.
Sorry, mine's at home. I think I'm Group A, but I couldn't swear to it.
Miss Mason? Mr. Ross?
I can't remember any damn group. I've probably lost the card anyway.
Mr. Mason?
Well, I don't remember either, and I certainly haven't got my card.
Well, I did make it a rule, you know.
Doctor, how best do we settle this business?
Well, as I said, they'll have to give blood samples eventually. But if you want some quick information, why not telephone the registry here? They should have complete records of all blood donors in the building.
Yes. Ellis, get packing on that phone, will you?
Yes,
check Ross and Mr. Mason.
Yes, sir.
While we're waiting, you can tell me, Mr. Ross, why you ran back upstairs at 5:30 last evening.
How the devil did you know that?
Well, the commissioner was chosen for his job, not least for his powers of observation. But I asked you a question.
I left my car keys in my desk, that's all. I had to come back up with them.
Well, that's something we'll never be able to prove one way or another, is it?
Don't be so damned offensive. I don't have to prove it.
Oh, calm down.
Sir, I've got the blood groups of Miss Mason and Mr. Ross.
Well, let's have them.
They're both Group O.
I see. Miss Mason, Mr. Ross, some skin was found under the fingernail of the dead girl, which Dr. Lambton tells me was Group O. You are both Group O. Anything to say to that?
So what? Doesn't mean a thing.
Of course not. I don't know much about science, but at least I know that Group O is by far the most common one.
Nevertheless, I have to ask you both to allow Dr. Lambton to examine you to see if you have any fingernail injuries. Seems highly likely that the unfortunate Miss Simpson managed to mark her attacker slightly.
I've had enough of these innuendos. I'm going to call my solicitor. I'm sick to death.
Ellis, see your transfer.
Yes, sir. This is the last for you, Dr. Lambton.
Oh, right. I'll take it here. Thanks. Excuse me. Right. Hello? Yes? Yes? Are you absolutely sure? I see. Thanks. Yes. Thanks very much. Well, Superintendent, that was the extra information I was hoping for. And the identity of the attacker seems obvious now, I'm afraid.
Just a minute, Doctor. I think we should all hear what you have to say. Everyone, I want you to hear what Dr. Lambton has to say.
That fragment of skin under the dead girl's fingernail. Well, my assistant has just been examining it under the microscope. And it shows certain characteristics that, together with the blood group, virtually put the finger on the killer.
What's all this mumbo-jumbo? We don't want a lecture on biology. I want my solicitor.
Mr. Ross, please. Now, Doctor, tell us what you mean.
The body cells of certain people have an extra blob of chromosome material in their nuclei. Well, it can be seen especially well in blood cells and skin cells. This skin fragment had the extra blob without any doubt.
Damned hocus-pocus.
Certain people, you mean racial? Like Italians, as opposed to...
No, Superintendent. Not racial, but sexual. Men don't have it, but women do. And this woman also had blood group O.
Stop her! Get the door open! Let's make it for the stairs! Hit her! Come on! God! She's fallen down the stairs!
Doctor, quick! Let me know!
How is she?
Concussion, couple of cracked ribs. She'll be well enough to stand trial for murder.
I still can't believe it. Lena, the one who killed poor little Paula.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yes.
I suppose this means that she was the one who sent me that letter.
And the telegram. She made a full confession to Ellis in the hospital.
But how did she get to know about Franchini?
Well, through her work here. She came across a photograph in a Rome newspaper. It showed one of his old meetings. And in the background, there were you, Miss Osborne, as clear as day. She checked up on the dates. She found out that you were there at the time.
Yes, but why blackmail her?
Well, first, for money. She was living above her means, of course. Mm-hmm. And you, Miss Osborne, were loaded, as you put it. Or your parents were.
What was the other reason?
Well, if she couldn't manage direct blackmail for money, she wanted to put you out of the running for this senior job. It is almost double the salary, I understand.
Yes, perfectly true.
Well, she was next in line by virtue of her qualifications. And if she tipped off the security people about Franchini, the job would have been in the bag.
Yes, but why kill poor Paula? What had she got to do with the whole affair?
Well, Lena Mason was in the ladies' cloakroom in the afternoon trimming a broken nail or something with the office scissors. Miss Simpson came through and accidentally knocked over Miss Mason's handbag. All the stuff fell out, and Miss Simpson hurried to pick it up. She saw the sheet with the capital letters cut out and immediately realized who sent the Franchini letter.
Oh, now, straight-talking Paula, she would have made no bones about accusing Lena on the spot.
Exactly. She said she was going at once to tell you, Miss Osborne, and the security people to expose her. Lena Mason alleges she can't remember what happened next. She found herself standing over the dying girl with a bloodstained pair of scissors in her hand.
Well, she had a hell of a temper. Lena's rages were a notable feature of life in this office, eh, Miss Levins?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
What about the telegram I had? What was the idea of that?
Well, when she saw what you'd done, she realized she had to divert suspicion onto someone else. She found your shoes in your locker, flicked blood on them, and then dropped the pair of scissors into the lavatory cistern and bundled the body into the locker after putting the magazine in the dead girl's handbag.
Mm-hmm. But the telegram...
Well, now then, you had gone home, hadn't you? Long before Miss Mason was missing.
Yes, I had.
So if you were to lose your alibi, she had to get you back to the office to make you a suspect. Now, she sent a telegram from a public call box so it couldn't be traced. Then you could equally well have sent it to yourself, you see.
So, no phone call was ever intended last night?
No, exactly. It was just to get you up here long enough to have killed the dead girl.
Yes, clever. Yes.
And Miss Mason guessed right that if the body wasn't found until today, doctors couldn't be sure whether the death had occurred in the afternoon or in the evening.
I must say, the coolness of it all. But what about the fall in the foyer? Was all that part of the act?
Yes. She told us about that as well.
Oh.
She had a little scratch, apparently, in the back of her hand from the dead girl. Well, to cover up, she arranged a fall in full view of everyone and made sure she had a bad graze in the same place to obliterate the original scratch.
Oh, that was it.
Well, Lena was clever. We all knew that.
Too clever.
She's having years to think over where she went wrong, I'm afraid. We're handing over to the CID now that there's obviously no security angle involved.
But there is a security angle, Superintendent. Mine.
Hmm?
Oh, I suppose I needn't waste time going to that interview next week. I'm finished in this place. I'll have to resign gracefully to save being given the sack.
I wouldn't be too hasty, Miss Osborne. By all accounts, you're a first-class operative, isn't she, Miss Levins?
Oh, she certainly is, isn't she?
And now, tragically, both your rivals for the job seem to have vanished from the scene.
And I'm not up for it, Jean. I was only pulling your leg when I hinted that I would.
Can't you have a word with the security staff, Superintendent? You must know them all, being in special...
Yes, well, I was just going to suggest that, Mr. Evans. I'll see what I can do, Miss Osborne. You've had rather more than your fair share of punishment for that rather trivial little deception about Mr. Franchini.
Please don't mention that name, Superintendent. It'll be staring at me in capital letters from every page of every woman's magazine I read for the rest of my life.
Murder in Capitals was written by Bernard Picton. Elizabeth Morgan played Lena Mason, Louise Jarvis, Jean Osborne, Mavanwi Talog, Paula Simpson, Dilwyn Owen, Howell Evans, and Douglas Blackwell, Gabriel Ross. Other parts were played by David Lynn, Clive Roberts, Hubert Tucker, and Ray Handy. The play was produced in Wales by Lorraine Davis.